I'm Henry McNulty, and this is From the Studio. I'm joined today by folks from Theatre on the Verge to discuss their regional premiere of Robert Askin's play, Hand to God. I'm joined by a couple of performers. First is Karen Hoagland. Welcome, Karen.
Thank you.
Also, Declan Sheehan.
Welcome. Hello. How are you?
And Chris Jensen, here representing the theatre.
Hey there, Henry. Glad to be here.
So tell me a little bit about this play, a little bit of background.
Yeah, so this play is an incredibly hilariously dark exploration of some pretty heavy topics like grief and acceptance, and it explores faith. But it is also, you know, uproarious in its hilarious moments, and it is just a really cool like take on a lot of concepts that we as people struggle with in our daily lives. I mean, it talks a lot about morality and how we interact as people, as a species.
And it does this through puppets. It's about a puppet ministry in a church basement in Cypress, Texas.
And that was going to be my follow-up, because I was slightly remiss in not introducing our fourth guest, who is short enough to not be directly within my view.
Well, yeah, so this is Tyrone. He is my co-star for Hand to God. And I'm a little upset that you didn't introduce me, Henry. I mean, I got to be honest, you know.
You know, that is my bad, and I apologize.
No, it's fine. It's whatever. But, you know, they Declan introduced me as his co-star, but I got to be honest, I'm the star of the show here. I mean, when people look at the poster, who are they looking at? This nerd? No. They're looking at me. Okay? So let's get that straight.
Got it. Thank you for that clarification. And Chris, I'm sorry I interrupted you a little bit.
No, I was just saying that, you know, this takes place at a church basement in Cypress, Texas, where a grieving mother is trying to put on a puppet show for the church. And her son is in the church puppet ministry as well. There's a kid there who only comes to puppet class because he needs to go somewhere while his mom is in her meetings trying to stay sober. And so these are people who are showing up in this church basement with some really heavy things going on in their lives. And this puppet, Tyrone, starts going off script and saying things you're not supposed to say in a church basement. And that's where the comedy comes in, but it's also where the play really delves into some deeper subjects in a really interesting way. And it's because Tyrone sort of tears away this filter that I think is often in place in environments like that, where there are things that we're not supposed to be talking about. And the play is shockingly funny, but it's not shock for the sake of shock. It's actually exploring some really interesting things. And that's the reason why we chose it.
And Karen, tell me a bit about your character in the show.
It was my misguided idea to start the puppet ministry. Marjorie has lost her husband and is really just very lost in her life after he's gone. She's very much someone who is dedicated to family, and her whole identity is wrapped up in being in the church and being a wife and being a mother. And with her husband gone, she kind of is drifting, doesn't know what to do, comes up with this idea of a puppet ministry. And it's really her idea of, let's get the teens together and give them something productive to do to keep them out of sin, keep them out of harm's way. But unfortunately, all of her attempts to control the environment are breeding a lot of resentment in the kids who are in the ministry, and particularly in her son. So in her attempt to help, she's actually harming by not listening and allowing her son to be who he is or process his own emotions. It's kind of like, process them in this box because this is what's safe and this is what's done and it's what is acceptable. And in that, I think she kind of unfortunately leads him into this dual personality world.
And she wasn't counting on Tyrone.
Not at all. No, it was very much, look at these wonderful, wholesome puppets, and we can put on these beautiful Bible stories, and it's going to reach all these little kids, and isn't it going to be fun for us all? And I think she is kind of the last to accept that Tyrone is actually there. She wants to kind of ignore him and think he's just a puppet, not an entity that she has to engage with.
And I've heard this described as a comedy about the divided soul, which sounds awfully high-toned. But I think in a way that is what it is. It's about an adolescent trying to figure out who he is and trying to figure out, you know, is this thing in my hand, is this who I am? Am I who the church is telling me who I am? Who am I exactly? As his personhood is kind of coming into focus, and this puppet is expressing things that he doesn't want to express, but are nonetheless true in some way. And it's an environment where shame often causes people to put things away and put things into a dark corner and not talk about them. And this puppet is dragging those things into the light, things that people might otherwise be too ashamed or too afraid to talk about.
Well, and I have to say that Tyrone has been very well behaved so far here on this NPR affiliate, which is probably for the best.
I know to keep my mouth clean when it counts. I don't want to get this theater in trouble. I want to stay employed, you know what I mean?
Right, right. Tell me, Declan and Tyrone, a little bit about how this relationship comes to be. Is this a surprise happening? Is it something that either of you planned?
Yeah. So Jason, as a character, I think is very interesting because of, Chris was talking about the divided soul, and I resonate strongly with that. I think myself as a person, this is something that I have struggled with in the past. It's just like, who am I? Tyrone is a tool to kind of express that throughout the show. And I mean, I'm always surprised personally by what Tyrone has going on. And I think Jason is too. I think he is not, I don't think Tyrone was something that he ever expected. So when he starts manifesting and he starts like having this control over Jason's life, he doesn't really know what to do. But he can't break away from it because he is finding some sort of solace in it. And I think that has been something that's been really interesting to explore, is the idea that even though Jason might feel that whatever Tyrone is doing is wrong, he also can't escape it.
Tyrone, you've just been described as a tool. Speak to that.
Well, it wouldn't be the first time I've been called a tool, but, I think that when it comes to this, that I think, you know, I got to agree with Declan on this one. I mean, I obviously, I'm amazing, but, I do, at least in this play, I do have a purpose to serve, and I think that there's something to see there. I mean, I just want the kid to be his best self. Well, I don't know if I'd agree with be his best self, but be his most free self. I might be able to get behind that. I've really enjoyed working on this project, and I think one of the most interesting things to me about it is that they give me these really cool powers, actually, so...
Is that something you can tell me about? I mean, we're talking powers. That just got introduced into the conversation.
Yeah. I dare not say anymore.
Got it.
So I would say they're out of proportion to his size, his powers.
Truly. Truly. Yeah. I'm a lot stronger than I look. I'll say
that. That's right.
So this is the regional premiere of this play, and that's despite the fact that it earned 5 Tony Award nominations, including for Best Play back in the day. Why do you feel like this hasn't been produced in the area?
Well, one of the things, when Troy Nickerson, the director, he and I were trying to come up with our next project, he suggested this play because it is one that he had been suggesting to local theaters for a little while, and nobody had really been up to it. And so I ordered it, and I read the opening monologue that Tyrone, the puppet, delivers. And I texted Troy right away. I was like, this feels exactly right for us. I mean, a lot of people, when they hear about it, they might think it's like Avenue Q. And there are some similarities between this play and Avenue Q. I would say this is significantly darker, and I think it also goes deeper. Just from the opening monologue on, which is... I'm not even sure I can, Tyrone, what is the opening monologue about, would you say?
I mean, I'm just telling the truth. You know what I mean? I mean, people don't want to hear the truth anymore. And, I shove it down their throats, and that's what I do. So.
And Tyrone goes wide. He starts off with telling the truth about humanity as a whole since the beginning of time.
Yeah.
And he does so in a way that's pretty profane, but also pretty undeniable, I would say.
Yeah, I talk about the way that society itself evolved and the way that, we started having to owe each other things. And I mean, great philosophers talk about this all the time. I think, you know, Immanuel Kant, what we owe to each other. And it's just like, how did we get here? How do we continue on? And
And who decided what's right and what's wrong and how they use that to, to keep other people, to control other people. That's really what the opening monologue is about. So the play goes pretty deep, pretty fast. And that's part of the thing that really appealed to me. I mean, I'm not interested necessarily in doing a show that's just for shock for shock's sake. But I am very interested in doing a dark comedy that is about something. And this is very much about something. This show has a lot on its mind. And that's part of the reason why it was nominated for those five Tonys back in 2015, had fantastic reviews, and had walkouts apparently in every performance. And
it's always a good sign.
We're expecting walkouts, and we haven't had a walkout yet at any of our shows. And I'm ready. I'm ready, Henry. I'm ready for a walkout.
It is called Theater on the Verge.
That's right.
And if you're not on the verge, what are you doing?
On the verge of what? We don't know. Still, that remains undetermined.
I mean, to me, on the verge, just like you guys have always never been afraid to do shows that have been that have made people think. Right. And I think that there is something to learn from that and the way that you guys operate within the community and like the role that you play within our community to do shows that are more dangerous and more exploratory and don't always have a happy ending.
Right. Well, thank you. And I thank you, Declan. No, but I think, I mean, this is our third regional premiere. And that doesn't necessarily mean that everything that we're going to do is going to be new to the region. But I like that we're introducing shows that have not been done here before and that are, and in part because, at least with this one, I think it has been considered somewhat untouchable up to this point. And we're eager to go there.
We're getting touchy, all right.
That's right.
Tyrone, is Spokane ready for you?
Spokane is never going to be ready for me. I mean, I've been walking around downtown. I've been seeing the sights. It's a beautiful city. They are not ready for me, all right? I'm going to blow their minds.
Well, the show is coming up May 21st through June 6th here in 2026. That's Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays at 7:30 p.m. That's at the Hamilton Studio Listening Room. Tickets are available now at theateronthetheverge.com. I want to thank all three of you, all four of you, for joining me today in the studio.
Thank you, Henry.
Thank you, Henry.
For Spokane Public Radio, I'm Henry McNulty.